Hello, everybody. We are here back again in LA. It was a great trip to New York. We did a great job together with our community in LA and New York together. So that was wonderful, and thank you for all your help, contribution, and being there. We are jumping right into the subject of the portion of Noach. We know we are in the book of Bereshit and the book of Genesis, and there's a second portion in the book of Noach. Now, when you take the word Noach in Hebrew, it stands for comfortable, comfort. And it's the first verse, if we want to translate it the way we want it, because according to Kabbalah, according to the Zohar, you know, words in Hebrew can be read differently based on the subject. And in Kabbalah, you can use gematria, which is the numerically value of the Hebrew letters, or you can use the sound. So if we take just for the sound, it's on Noach as comfortable, comfort zone. So now we say Ele Toldot Noach. That's the children that came from Noach, but you can also translate it as that's the outcome of Noach. That's the outcome of Noach. So does that mean that every time we get comfortable, it's a Ish Tzadik Tamim Ayah Bedorotav. He was righteous in his generation. And of course, the famous argument, was Noach really righteous because the rest of the people weren't? Or Noach was righteous only because everybody else was bad? So compared to them, relative to them, he was the greatest. Or we can say like Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, who write, Bedorotav, in his generation, mean Dor Ledor. Meaning what? Meaning that every time, say to us, the Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, every time that a person climbs spiritually from one level or another, it's called Dor, it's called generation. Generation meaning that you climb up. Now, of course, the question remains, okay, I would like to climb, I would like to be righteous, what do I need to do? Basically, it's a simple answer, but it's not so simple. There is something called the evil inclination, or in Hebrew, Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara was created as to block us from achieving the goals of our life. Now, why would we live with evil inclination? What do we need it for? Well, there is two types of success: achieving what you wish or what you want, or overcome what is necessary. A lot of us have issues maybe with anger or jealousy or temptation or lust. We all have something. We're born with that. We're born with that evil inclination. It was given to us. You can look at it as a punishment or you can look at it as a gift. Many people try to change it. The Talmud tells us to change the evil inclination cannot be by fighting it. You have first to recognize what is your personal tikkun, or personal evil inclination, or person as evil, and not to be ashamed of it. It's there for a reason. So if you're born with a certain, let's say, addiction, or anger, or jealousy, it's there. You're first to acknowledge, at least to yourself, I got a problem. You know, like in the 12-step program, those of you familiar, the first step to admit. You can admit to yourself, okay, I got a problem there. Now, the solution by most people is fight it, suppress it, restrict it, wait 72 hours, wait 24 years. The Talmud don't believe in it. So we have to believe that the sages from the Talmud time, 2,000 years ago, people who can walk on water, who can fly, knew the secret. And they say, fighting the evil will not work. It will suppress it, but it will not work. And what they suggest is if you study from books of spirituality, whatever it is, the Zohar, the Talmud, books that was created 2,000 years ago and more, just study. When you study, the evil inclination loses its power, which is a tremendous answer, to my opinion. It's one of the best answers I ever heard, because I'm in spirituality for many, many years, and a lot of time when I've tried to change a certain type of behavior, I have negative behavior, it's tough, and I'm fighting, and I feel bad when I can't, and I feel good when I do, but that good don't last. And then bad come and attack me again. And those negative thoughts in my mind doesn't help anybody, not me and not my surrounding. What do? We study, whatever it is, Torah or the Zohar or the Talmud or different book of spirituality that your belief system mean that spirituality for me. Good. Stick to it. That Torah, that wisdom of spirituality, according to the Talmud, has within it energy to diffuse your evil inclination. So if you fight your evil inclination, you're already doing a mistake. You can fight it. And those people will tell you, okay, restrict and it will go away. No, it will not. Because you didn't create the evil inclination. Did you create the evil within you? Did you ask, hey, can I be born with some jealousy issue? Can I be born with the anger issue? Can I be born with the addiction? No, it was given to you. So you can overcome it. But trying to overcome it will be a waste of time. Does that mean you are weak, that you couldn't overcome it? No. It means that it was given to you. It's through the study that you study, and whatever, you can study also online with us on Vital. You can study too. But invest at least 15 minutes is the minimum, 15, 1-5, till 1 hour a day. That's the ultimate time. 1 hour a day of study of spirituality, consider the perfect time to invest. When you invest that time, you have to tell your soul, that food I'm giving you, so you can fight with my negativity. But when you start to fight with the negativity, it's part of the negativity force plan to fool you so you can win. And when you win, you have ego, which is negativity. And when you lose, you get depression, which is negativity again. Anyway, it's a lose-lose situation. So what do? We give the power to God. We give the power to the Creator by study spirituality. Going back to our subject, Elet Toldot Noach. This is the birth of comfortable, being righteous. So, of course, there is a debate. Was Noach righteous or Noach wasn't? And, of course, we are, in our generation, we call the generation of the Messiah. This generation called the generation of the Messiah. What does that even mean? Generation of the Messiah, meaning the Messiah is available right now. Is accessible, available. The whole generation has to understand it. It's available and accessible. But it requires the strongest desire to manifest it. Unfortunately, we don't live exactly in a generation where people have the greatest desire. Nowhere. Whatever it is, New York or LA or London or Israel or Dubai, people lose their desire. Why? Because more fulfillment you're going to get, less desire you're going to have. We have everything. You want to read a certain book, you can find it on your phone. Any show on TV. You want to travel the world, you buy one of those VR glasses and you travel the world. Everything is accessible, available. Today, the speed of light, I mean, the spaceship and the airplane, everything is accessible. So what happened? The desire started to go down. We don't ask for more. For that reason, the only problem with our generation is actually small desire. That's the only problem. Only problem. Even the evil inclination of the people today, it's a small thing. In the old days, 3,000 years ago, when a person worshiped idol, which is forbidden by the Torah, the idol will talk back to them. Can you imagine to refuse to continue talking to something like that? Now that's difficult. In our generation, the dark lord, whatever you call it, evil inclination, Satan, whatever you want to call it, saw that he doesn't need a lot to fool us because we already fulfill. So what happened? They fulfill a person with whatever they want and wish, and through that the desire disappears. And when the desire disappears, then the concept, whatever it's a human being, or the Messiah, whatever it is, an energy, or Messiah, whatever it is, resurrection of the dead, or Messiah, whatever it means, building the temple of Jerusalem, whatever you call Messiah according to your language, that's available and accessible, but it requires desire. Unfortunately, we live in a time where the desire is small. How does that relate to this portion? Well, as I said, there is two opinions. Noah was righteous. Even if he will live in the time of Moses, David, and Abraham, he will be the best. Or Noah is not righteous, but he was righteous compared to his evil generation. So we're going to continue with that topic, and I'm going to jump to another book who's actually taking the negative aspect of Noah, which is shocking because we're talking about one of the greatest Kabbalists named Kerem Shlomo. Okay, Kerem Shlomo. And he was from one of the establishment of the Hasidim. I don't know if you ever heard of Hasidim called Bobov, the Bobov Hasidim. So they known to be all about mercy and kindness and love. I just had the privilege to spend time with them before Yom Kippur, for the kaparot, for the mikveh. Tremendous amount of love that they have in their heart. Community in Brooklyn, Borough Park, that I never saw before in that level of love. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable community. But for some reason, one of their leaders is taking a turn here and explain something about Noah. And he takes a story that after Noah come out of the ark, those of you who don't know the story, maybe I should tell you the story of this portion. Basically, God come to Noah and said to him, listen, this generation is a disaster. You're going to build the ark, the kosher animal, not seven kosher animals, two non-kosher animal. From everything, basically build a safari in your ark. And you're going to be in the ark until the flood will be over. When I talk flood, it was boiling water coming from the ground and rain coming from above. So it was a disaster. It was basically melting everything, kill everything around. Why? Because it was two main crime that was created by human being. The first crime was sexuality in the wrong way without describing all the details. And second was stealing. People are stealing from each other. It's called Hamas. Hamas means when you're stealing from one another. That's the meaning of Hamas in the Torah. So it's written, after Noah came out of the ark, after the flood was over, he created a sacrifice, which is very nice. Because what it means, sacrifice? Sacrifice when you barbecue, but you don't barbecue for yourself. You just put the meat there and let it burn. It creates a smell. That smell by itself is the less physical part of the meat. And through that, you connect to the angels and to the Creator. Without going to details, I'm sorry. Kind of, I'm trying to create like 45 minutes to 1 hour. So, what is that smell? Ask Kerem Shlomo. So that smell was the smell of Abraham coming out from Nimrod pit of fire. That was the smell of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah coming out from the pit of fire. Those of you who don't know, we're going to speak about it next week. Blinader. Abraham, when his father was not happy with him, not following and idol worshiping, he sent him to Nimrod. Nimrod had to convince Abraham to follow idols. In the end, Abraham refused, and they threw Abraham to the pit of fire, and he didn't die. He didn't die. The same happened to the three prophet, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also were pushed, and those four people both groups survived the fire. So it says here that the smell coming from them going there, that was actually what Noah sacrificed. But of course, it's not clear. Not clear. It says, לכן עשה לו הקדוש ברוך הוא מידה כנגד בתי על דקו, בתבואי בתי קודש. It's written that Noah was busy the whole time to protect his house, to protect his family, to protect his whoever's around him. Because when God told him, hey, please, my people or the people of the world are about to collapse, the people of the world, the whole world is about to fall apart, Noah was busy with building an ark to make sure that eventually he will survive the flood. It's written here from Kerem Shlomo. What God did to him is called Mida Keneged Mida. And the Kobe Teva Yud Bet Chodesh. He said, you didn't come out of your house to help your people, to help anybody. Then I will put you in the ark for 12 months. Mashallah asa Avraham. Avraham, as we know, he went out and try to do everything he can. But don't forget, because Abraham, if you think about it, Abraham, he was after Noah. Noah has nobody to learn from. Noah has nobody he can follow. So Noah didn't have an example of a spiritual leader so he can look up to and say, okay, I'm going to do like that. So we got to give Noach some credit. For that reason, there is a debate between what is exactly Noach. Was he righteous or he wasn't? But here, according to Kerem Shlomo, La'asher lo ha'ita ro'ef manik, you weren't the leader of my people to stop sleeping and chase them to become better people. Then you're going to deal with the animal alone in the ark. So according to Kerem Shlomo, they look at it as Noach was punished to go into the ark. It wasn't the achievement of Noach. Most of us think, wow, the flood going on out there, it's a disaster out there. Wow, Noach has been saved by God, he's in the ark. What can we learn from that, from Kerem Shlomo, what he's telling us? My friend, when you know bad things is coming, and some people love to be psychic and be famous for knowing the future. Knowing the future means nothing. Zero. It's only mean one thing in the eyes of God. By you knowing what's coming, are you going to save my people? Any people? Doesn't matter who. Save one person. One person. And don't stop to talk to them about spirituality because you say, ah, there's no hope. They don't want to listen to me. Every chance and every conversation you can have, you have it. I don't care where it is. If you're in New York, subway. If you are in London, just from the metro, you're coming out, talk to somebody. Talk to someone. You cannot just sit there and say, my life is good. I got money. I'm healthy. I don't have COVID. I got the vaccine. I'm fine. I'm protected. What about the one who is, has money, has everything, got the vaccine, but depressed and miserable because he or she doesn't want to study spirituality? Because it's very easy to help the poor person under the bridge to give them a sandwich. Whoa, what a difficult thing that was, right? I want to see you going after somebody who got everything in their life, physical everything, but the miserable inside. I want to see you doing that because that's a tough goal. It's so easy to help the poor, the sick. We all do that, right? We love doing it. But the most difficult client or the most difficult soul to help it, because that was Noah's problem. Noach was not so famous and rich. He had something. But around him, everybody was famous and rich. Can you imagine? He go to them and say, listen, your life is miserable. What would they tell him? And that's what happened. They start laughing at him. Noach, look at you. You got nothing. We got a fancy car, house on the beach. We got it all. What can you add to our life? And he says, spirituality. Ah, get out of here. So God said he didn't try enough. That's why his name is Noach, comfortable. He didn't try enough. But it's a shocking thing for me to see Kerem Shlomo, which is, again, Kerem Shlomo is all about love. Go ahead and say what he say. And I would like to continue what he's saying here. Even if it's a little tough, but which I didn't want to go that direction today, but I need to go that direction. וזהו עשה לך תיבת עצי גופר. It's written, he say, my proof, said Kerem Shlomo, when God said to him, do it for yourself. Do the ark for yourself, which is shocking. Kulo lecha. Yatel lasot teva. Make the ark for you. What does that mean for you? For people like you. For people like you that, yes, you are righteous. Yes, you are kind. Yes, you are good. Yes, you give donation to the poor. Yes, you give to the, you are people who are, yes, yes, all of it, yes. Yes, you are nice to the rich. You try one time to see if they will be spiritual. But when it's come to add spirituality to people's life, Noach, I didn't feel you. I didn't feel you. And that's why I call you righteous. I call you righteous, said God to Noach, because you are righteous. You're a perfect human being. But being righteous, a perfect human being, is not enough in the eyes of God. As they once asked the Baal Shem Tov, they asked him, are you studying? Are you praying? He said, no. I wish I had time. I'm busy doing God's job. It's kind of a cute answer to show you. Baal Shem was going from village to village to try to tell people to connect to the Creator, which is the main work. So, and he continued, of course, Kerem Shlomo doesn't leave Noach alone. And say he created three kids. Three kids. What does that mean? Three kids, as the verse continues. And he takes the Zohar, he brings the Zohar here. Kimei Noach Zotli. They call the flood after Noach, they don't longer call it the flood, they call it the water of Noach. The poor guy, they name that disaster after his name. Can you imagine that the COVID will be named after a person? Can you imagine how insulting it is? They named the Noah after, they named the flood after Noah. Why? He brings the Zohar. The Zohar said, because he never prayed for his people. He didn't, if you feel you're helping your people, and you say, hey, listen, study some Zohar, please, 5 minutes. Study some 10 minutes. Any trick that you can have to manipulate, the word is to manipulate. People connect manipulate as negative. Manipulate can be positive too. Manipulate person, like a chiropractor said, I'm going to manipulate your bones. You manipulate the evil side of a person to study, because only through the study people can change. That's why we created Vital, so people can study. So those of you who watch it, share it, but don't just share it, send my video to people. Sit with them 5 minutes, tell them, let me study it together with you. It takes 5 to 15 minutes to study together one of my lectures with people. And if you do it for them, then you bring mercy on them, on you, and to the world. So the Zohar said, if he would sacrifice before the flood, he could prevent the flood never to happen. So we see there is many opinion about was Noah righteous or not. Last opinion comes from a rabbi by the name of Ohev Israel, the love of Israel. They call him also the Epter Rebbe. And that rabbi lives in Ukraine and is buried in Tiberias, Israel. And his job is to go through all the Bible, all the Torah, and find the good things about people that everybody known as bad. So when he knew people judging Noah left and right for whatever he didn't do, he said, let's find one good things about him. So Rashi, one of the commentary, say, Vayanas Noach mipnei me amabul el ateva, that Noah was running away from the water, the flood water, into the ark. So Rashi asked, why did he run away in the last second? Rashi said, because mikatne emuna ya Noach. He was not a believer. He was not a believer that that will happen. Now, the rabbi, the Epter Rebbe, take that section of Rashi, and on that he bring commentary. He say, what did it mean Noach was not a believer? What did that mean he wasn't a believer? So he explained it like this, and that's very sweet of what Ohev Israel, the Epter Rebbe, does. He said, why wasn't he a believer? Because he knew he was righteous. And he knew if he will believe, it will happen. And if he will refuse to believe, he can prevent it. So the Ohev Israel say, yes, it's true he didn't believe. It is negative. But why didn't he want to believe? Because he knew that if he will stop believing, maybe he can prevent it. And I find it tremendous. But anyway, let's continue into see what we can deal with the Noah. And I'm going to go into the section in the Zohar. And in the Zohar, I'm reading from Old Zohar, page old edition of page 58, verse 61. So the question being asked in the Zohar, why by people doing bad the whole land has to be destroyed? Why? What is the land has to do with that? Imanashim chodim, and the question being asked by Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is asking the question to his rabbi, to his teacher, Rabbi Shimon. But what the land did? They didn't do a sin. The human being did sin. What do you want from the land? Couldn't come up with something else than Mabul, than the flood? You can do a different thing. And there is no answer right away. Right away, after that question, the Zohar jumped into a story. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chiya walking. They're walking. Again, it's not always a physical walking in the Zohar. When they're walking, meaning they were going from one level to another. Igiyu etzel harim gdolim, they arrived to giant mountain. Again, giant mountain doesn't mean giant mountain. Giant mountain in the Zohar meaning great righteous people. That's how they call the mountain. And they found between the mountain bones of people from the time of the flood. Now, do you relate to those mountains as physical? Yes. So the story has always two levels. The one level, mountain mean righteous, mountain mean regular mountain. And they found bones of people from the time of the flood. I don't need to tell you, in the time of the flood, there was giant. Where did the giant came from? The angels make love to the women. Those two angels that were judging God for creating a human being was eventually going to sin. They are the one that was pushed away from heaven. Okay? One name is Azah, A-Z-A. The other one is Azazel, A-Z-A-Z-E-A-L. Until Denzel Washington tried to make a movie on that, it didn't come right. Unfortunately, it's called The Fallen. I wish I could advise them what exactly to put there, but big mistake. I mean, they start well, but it went off. A lot I was waiting for that movie for a long time, but in the end, they didn't give all the details. Those two angels were pushed by God to earth because they make fun of man who is turned sexually on, that they have a lot of sex desire. And God said to the angel, why don't I push you to earth? I want to see how good you are, angel. And they couldn't hold themselves. And they started making love to all the women. And children were created, they all were giants. So they met those bones. This is 2,000 years ago. The flood happened about a little bit more than 4,000 years ago. So they were walking. And they say, now we understand why the people were not afraid of God. They were giant. And they thought they controlled the world. So every time a water started coming out from the land, they put the feet on it. Because they were giant. But the water, as I say, was boiling. So it melted them. It melted their skin. Sorry for the description, but I'm just reading as all. So the question remained the same, right? No answer. No, but it continued. Rabbi Yossi came to Rabbi Shimon. Say, why God destroyed the land? The animal. Why? If people did bad, let the universe alive. Let the mosquito, let the bird, let you know, alive. Keep the universe alive. Amarlo. He answered. לפי שכתוב, כי ישחית כל בשרת כל הארץ, ולא משחיתים זרקם שעזבו מינם את המקומים אחרים. Shocking answer by Rabbi Shimon. He say, when human beings start to be negative, it's affecting all the way down. It's affecting the animals, the vegetables, and the minerals. That's a shocking for me. It should be shocking for you too. Can you imagine us as human beings affecting the animals? Not because we create pollution, just with our mind. We affected the birds, the dogs, everything. So, what does that mean, mixing of minim? They will start to create marriage with donkeys, with cow, with bird. Like, instead of human to human, they start to clone human and animal together to mix create a mess in the universe with that cloning. And their purpose was not just to do it for the fun. They want to make sure that whoever created the world before, which means the creator, God, will be canceled. That there will be the new creation. Like in the old days when you go to war, you destroy that city, and then you create a new one. That's a mentality of first thinking big and being evil. So they want to basically change everything. So God said, you want to erase everything I created. I will help you with that. I will help you. I will join you. Machiti kolayikum. And I will erase whatever I did in the world. I will bring the world the same way as it was before. What was it before? Water. Mind the mind. And then I will create better people than you because you guys don't get it. The concept of gratitude. Now there is a few questions we need to raise here.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't answer the question when it comes from Rabbi Yitzchak. But when Rabbi Yossi asked him, I don't know the answer for that, I'm just raising a question. Rabbi Yossi asked him, he actually answered. Maybe it was a different time, I don't know the answer. I just find it fascinating that Rabbi Shimon knew the answer, but he didn't answer. You know, he just jumped to a story. But the message we need to get from it is, where do you live physically? What type of people are around you? Are they nice? Are they good? What type of persona you have? Are you going around house to influence people with spirituality? Debbie and me, when we move to a new area, new street, we usually bake cookie and we're going around to the doors. We try. I mean, it's too much love can scare people. You know, you give cookie, you give something. We are here if you need us. And we are moving now. We're in the process of moving this week to a different location. And in the new area, there is like WhatsApp in the area. And all of a sudden, people start to welcome us there. I said, Debbie, this is kind of funny. People welcome us before we welcome ourselves to them. Like usually we go door to door. Never happened to us. And we moved to so many areas. Never happened to us that the people actually reach out, say, hi, we are here. So, and we are very happy about it. But I told Debbie, we have to learn how to receive. You know, we enjoy more giving. But we have to, sometimes you have to develop what we call desire to say for the sake of sharing, which we're not very good at that. And that level of sharing is actually higher. Desire to share is one level. Desire to say for the sake of sharing is the highest level. But you need to develop it purely. You cannot say, I want to take because I want to help you to share. No, it's got to be pure. Meaning, usually I'm more aggressive, so I want to give. I want to give first. But when you get love from everywhere and you're not ready for it, what am I doing with that? And for that reason, your neighborhood, where you live, is a very, very important place. Very important place. Where you drink your coffee. Where you buy your water. I know it's too much to handle, but you have to understand that your surrounding, everything around you, affecting everything around you. When you go to the ocean, bless the ocean. Bless the sand. Bless the people. You know, if all the time put energy, I know you think it's not a big deal. It is a very big deal. According to what Rabbi Shimon is teaching us in the Zohar. He says everybody is involved in the crime. There is no such a thing. If you commit a crime, in that scene, in the crime scene, everything has to agree. The wall, the floor, the bicycle, the car that drove you to the crime scene. Everybody has to agree on that. That means the scene was happening together. You know, my friend told me that in one point, he was hungry. His family didn't have any money. And in one point, he couldn't take it anymore. And he woke up 5 a.m. And there is a place where I grew up in Israel where what they do, they bring the baking goods very early in the morning. And he decided to go steal. It was a very difficult moment in his life. He said, I got to steal the bread, the cookies. It's not a lot. I mean, worth of $7 to $9, $10. But it's stealing. It doesn't matter under the word. And on the way there, he fell three stairs down. Very special human being. Again, you might judge him if you meet him. That's why I don't say his name. For me, he's righteous. And on the way there, he fell. And he said to me, he called. And I said, what happened? He said, Eliyahu, you know, I cannot even steal. That's how bad I am. I said, no, let me tell you, God is so, he loves you so much that he cannot even let you stealing something. Now that's the beauty, because the whole universe has to be involved to prevent you from doing bad thing. So doing the wrong thing, the whole universe is involved to seduce you and do the wrong thing. So more you work on yourself, you get yourself more friend, but not human friend. You get yourself more friend as angel. You get yourself more friend as animals, the birds will be on your side. Everything will be on your side. That's how it worked. In my book, I'm sure you read it, you know, when I was very sick as a kid, you know, and the doctor lost hope, you know, I remember it was white pigeon that fly always to our balcony. I was home. I didn't go to school because it was really bad, pneumonia. And it would be in the hospital a lot. And that white pigeon become my friend. I feed the bird. The bird was not afraid of me. And after 2 months, I got better. I got cured. Nobody know why and how. And I believe that white bird was like an angel. And I treat the bird with the best I can as love, you know. And I'm thinking about it, like, how does that work? Because the birds, the animals, the trees, the bushes, they're all together. They're all one together. So I just, please, treat the universe not better, just pollution-wise, which is also important, but treat the universe with a prey. You know, if you go to the beach, it takes 1 to 15 minutes of meditation and pray, "I, ocean, I'm coming here to give the love, and thank you for giving me love." We're moving to a new house. My wife found me talking to the house, write a song to the house. Why? Because the wall that is there is alive. So I want to talk to it. Say, "Hi, house, this is me, this is you. I want to get along with you. I want to make sure." Now, somebody from the side would think I lost my mind. I didn't. Everything is alive. The grass is alive. The wall is alive. It's all alive. I got to talk to it so we get along. Maybe the house is not into me. Just because I pay for it and I go in, I own the house? No. The house has to agree that I'm the true owner. And I have to agree that that's what I want. We have to connect. We have to love. And that's why everything has to be connected. Everything has to be connected. I talk a lot about it. Let me move to another subject now. Yeah. 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 I'd like to move to another subject. Your permission. Okay. Another subject in this week portion. It's almost like they collect all the bad behavior of humanity into one portion, into Noah. That's how it seems. Because why they do that? Because in Noah, basically, if you look at the day that the ark rested on the Mount of Ararat, the Mount Ararat is in Armenia, and Ararat is covered with Arur. Arur means curse. It's a code that the Teva, the ark, rests in the 7th month. 7 months, the month of Tishrei. It's a code to teach us that if you really want to work on yourself, as Rabbi Elimelech said, you're going to work on yourself in the month of Tishrei. Of course, prepare yourself months before, in the month of Virgo. But the month of Tishrei is the month you can actually fix yourself. How do we know that? What is the first letter of the month of Tishrei? Taf. Second letter, Shin, Resh. It's been backward. The letter's going backward. What does backward mean? It shows you that you can go back in time to fix whatever you need to fix. So it's like that. The second sin was the sin of building a tower. What's the problem with building a tower? We have many towers in the world. You have the Sears Tower in Chicago. We have the tower, the new tower in where it used to be, unfortunately, 9/11. We have the tower in Dubai. Even talk about specific tower, Migdal Babel. Babel, the Babylonian. Babylonian meaning in Iraq, in Babel, Iraq. The city of confusion. The reason they call that city the city of confusion is because this story. What does that mean? That they want to build a tower. As the Zohar, in old edition Zohar 58, verse 76. And that happened after the flood. So the flood killed everybody beside Og, who was a giant that hung up into the ark, and beside his brother Sichon. So two brothers, Noah, his wife, his three kids, and their wife. They say, Va'imtzeu, they found. The Torah teaches they found. What they found, as the Zohar, they found a secret how to rebel God. People were thinking of God as a giant king, they'd have to rebel. So they say, we can cheat, or we can manifest the technique of winning God by basically understanding that we just say words, and those specific words will be the words that connect to what we call Ashba'ah. Ashba'ah is when you use Hebrew letter, when you use the Hebrew letter, okay? And those Hebrew letters that you are using can actually manifest whatever you want to manifest. So, they spoke something called Lashon HaKodesh. What is Lashon HaKodesh? Hebrew. And whoever knows the secret of Hebrew can manifest things with words. Just by saying something, it appeared. So basically, they didn't build a tower with their hand. They built a tower with their language. Who knows? The old people tried to understand the pyramid. Maybe the pyramid was the old Babylonian. I don't know. Because physically, nothing makes sense. In India, people respect the cow. In Egypt, you were not allowed to kill a ram. Maybe the story is twisted. Maybe Egypt is India. I don't know. I mean, just something to think about. I don't know. I cannot tell you I know it. Just something to think about. Maybe the pyramid is actually the Tower of Babylon. The reason they cannot understand it, how to build it, and they say some UFO business, it was because those days they knew how to use the Hebrew letters to build things. But what can we learn from them? Do you wake up in the morning as a person who's not spiritual, not religious, and you say, it's time for me to take the place of God? You don't. So you're not going that far with the Creator. I know there is a religion that's called the Satan movement or other movement, which I look into it to see how much they know. So they don't know a lot. Even the evil is not that good. Like sometimes people come to see me and say, Eliyahu, I think I have black magic. And I look at the house, I look at everything, I say, you don't. You don't. I mean, if you want me to scare you so you give more charity, I can tell you, but you don't have problem, because in our days, even the black magic or curses, not working. Since the Tower of Babylon, negativity exists, but in a different form. It's in the mind of a human being. It's attacking the mind. It's those words in your mind. That's how negativity looks like. But in those days, negativity was different. It was working with such a way that when you say the words, you create whatever you want. Difficult to believe in God. As I said before, when you fulfill, why should I be spiritual? I got it all. Now we pray, we got nothing. And you pray for 1 year, 2 years, 7 years. After 7 years, you got something. So you appreciate that. And those days, you just say it one time from your mouth, physical thing will be created. You will not think about God. You will actually avoid God because God is your competition. You can do everything yourself. And you start thinking, maybe it's actually me. Maybe I'm the God. That's why people in Greece, you know, the Greek mythology, Rome, even it was after this time, you know, start to feel like I'm special. All those people had a bigger desire than us. Maybe they were evil, or they used it in an evil way, but still, their desire was way greater than our desire. And I hope we can learn something from it. Not to be more evil, God forbid, but to start understanding that human being is way more power than we think. And human being has more ability to create things that you cannot believe. I know there is a group of people called themselves the Manifesto. Think it and it will happen. Be careful with that a little bit, because when you think it, it will happen, sometimes you connect to the dark side. Yes, it will happen, but where it came from. Where it came from. When I decided to become a spiritual leader, I went to the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob buried, where Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah is buried, where Adam and Eve is buried. I said, guys, you know, I'm about to lead people into spirituality. And I don't know what you see in me. But if there is something that might disturb humanity, I might say the right thing, but maybe my energy is not good. So please help me. If you think it's right, help me. If you think it's wrong, clean me or help me to become better. And that's how every spiritual leader has to speak, because it's not enough that you mean well. You have to be chosen to lead. You have to be chosen to do the thing. If you don't have that in you, God forbid you can end up like the Tower of Babylon people. That yes, you have all the power. If today I have ability to make people live forever, ability to cure all disease, ability to create all money for people, ability, I can do it all, then people will not searching for God. Because today, God's relationship to people is manifestation. It's not connecting to God without manifestation. We lost it a little bit. The connection to God that David has, King David, was I want to know God. What are you getting from it? I don't care. I just want to know God. The relationship that Moses says, I want to know God. And of course, Abraham. So you have three people, Abraham, Moses, King David. Those are the three people you always have to read about. Abraham, it's a style, what we call a startup of believing in God. Moses, maintaining it in the perfect way and make it available for people. And King David has taken a person like King David, who was a simple man, a shepherd, who turned into king. How do you do that? So three of those people specifically, as I said, are specifically them. They knew how to connect to the Creator, not how to benefit from the Creator. Here, in the Tower of Babylon, people could manifest anything they want. They didn't feel like they need God. And that unfortunately started to happen in our generation. You know, children, they don't know orange juice come from an orange or come from a tree. They say orange juice coming from a supermarket. We lost the roots. And when you lose the roots, it can create. That's why everything is without seed now. You buy watermelon without seed. Grapes without seed. We're losing the kettle. We're losing the shoresh. We're losing the roots. It's not to judge people who do that. Those engineers, they feel like they're doing the right thing. It's more about the spiritual people who sin than the farmer or the business people or the politician. Always it's the spiritual people. We don't do enough. I don't do enough. If I will do more to spread those type of messages to people, the universe will be better. Don't worry about the farmer. They are in the food chain, they are in the bottom. But they control everything because the spiritual people don't do their job. They don't pray in the right way. They don't pray enough. They don't study enough. They don't teach enough. They don't share enough the wisdom. Their job is to share wisdom. Their job is to share wisdom. We don't care if they will be billionaire or they will be poor. There's no definition for a spiritual person to be poor or billionaire. Even if the person is billionaire, unfortunately, we live in a universe, the last 250 years, that people are looking for the spiritual leader to be poor. Why? Because, you know, it doesn't fit. Well, somebody drive a Lamborghini, come to your house with the most expensive watch and tell you about God. But in the old days, that's how it used to be. Moses was rich. King David was a king. Abraham, one of the richest people in the Bible. But in those days, they look at money as a gift of God. In our days, look at money as you stole something. Money, one day, it will come back that we will start looking at money as a blessing of the Creator. So more money the person has, he bless. So why sometimes we see people who are rich, they're not super nice. Well, they lost it. But God gave them the money because they're good people. But they lost it after they receive it. And so the most dangerous thing is when you start receiving a lot of money. It's dangerous for you. It's not that God gave it to you in the first place as bad. I don't know if that message is clear. When I live in New York, the gentleman that parked the car in New York, he won $85 million in a lottery ticket. And he came to work the next day. And he came to work the next week. He didn't know that I'm into spirituality. He doesn't even know who I am. So I said, can I talk to him? I was looking for him. Yeah. I say, why you came to work? Please help me to understand you better. He said, well, I don't know how to explain it to you. If I just focus on the $85 million, which is a lot of money, I'm losing who I am. And then he continued to say, I don't know how to explain to you, but it's the same me, it's the same life. I just have more money to buy maybe a house or fancy car and to travel. Yes, but if I only relate to the money, then the me will disappear. I cried when he told me that. I was so impressed with the answer. You know, he didn't study everything I did, but he could give me an answer for all the years that I study. It's a beautiful way to meet people in the world and learn from them, to listen to what they say. Because the voice of God doesn't come only from spiritual leader. The voice of God comes from everywhere. From everywhere. The Talmud said, "Tzipor ha-shamayim tolich et hakol." The birds of heaven will carry the voice. That's what it's written. So it's not just human being or spiritual. It's everyone. I just hope that our desire will grow and go to the next level. Preparation for next week. And this week, we know that in the end of this week is the month of Scorpio. Hopefully, I will be able to give a lecture for the month of Scorpio, as it's on Wednesday, Thursday. But next week, we're going to start talking about Abraham, the startup of spirituality. Before Abraham, it was no spirituality. He's the beginner. He's the father of all nations. All of us are the children of Abraham. All of us are the children of Abraham. Even in Abu Dhabi, when they make the peace agreement with Israel, what they call the peace agreement? Abraham. That's the name of the peace agreement. Why? Because they say we're all children of Abraham. What are we fighting for? We're all the same grandfather. We all have the same grandfather. So, as we prepare for Abraham for next week, this portion is ending with the death of Abraham's brother. Now, why do we care about his death? Why we actually care about the death of Abraham's brother? Very simple. When Abraham was thrown into the pit of fire, his brother felt that Abraham is spiritual. And he said, if he's going to make it to the fire, I'm going to follow his spiritual path. And if he's not going to make it, I knew he was wrong. What happened? Abraham came out of the fire alive, and Aaron, his brother, died. On the spot. And then he reincarnated to Aaron, almost the same name. And that's why Aaron had to be tested with the golden calf, you understand the whole thing. Who was the son of Aaron? His brother, Lot, the famous Lot. So what we learn from here, you can't test spirituality. You gotta go for it. And when you go for it, you're gonna find out if it's bad or good. You cannot say, I'm gonna wait and see if it's good or bad. No, I'm going to go for it. And if it's bad, it will turn something and it will go wrong and then I will quit. If it's good, I'm going to continue. Whatever spiritual journey I took in my life, and I had to make at least 2 or 3 decisions in my life, join, leaving. So people asked me, 31 years ago, I was in Tel Aviv and I had a lot of friends from different path. And people were worried about me how fast they choose my spirituality. So, Leo, we don't know you like this. So let me tell you. I joined this specific group. If it's good, I'm going to support it with my blood, tears, and body. I will give it everything. I will take a bullet for whatever it is. If it's not, then either I will make sure that that thing will not make it, or I will quit. And that's exactly what I did with everything I do in my life. You have to join things. As Mother Teresa say, don't tell me what to go against. I don't like to hear about people going against this, against this, against this, against this. Tell me what you're for, and I'll support you. That's what spirituality looked like. That's what Abraham looked like. And Aaron, he said, I'm going to sit and wait. You don't sit and wait. You join, and you say, God, I'm joining that thing. I'm not sure it's good, and I'm not sure it's bad. I just don't know, but I'm going to join it. If it's bad, please create something for me to be prevent from join. And if it's good, please help me to see how good it is. The same prayer that you say when you get married. When you get married, you close your eyes, you meditate on the spot of the wedding. And you say, God, if this is next to me, is the soul of a person that I need to be with, let it be. And if it's not the soul of the person I need to be with, please create a certain separation. Thank you very much. And have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.